the man who is a philosopher who can't walk in balance just through ignorance, he cannot be the wisest philosopher who can shape and move and, you know, guide through information, principles, and practices. He can't, because he doesn't trust himself. There is an irreconcilable problem between his upper brain and his lower brain because he doesn't have physical integrity.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Danny Cola. In this episode, I interview David Weck. He is the CEO of Weck Method, which is a fitness innovation company manufacturing fitness tools and coming up with different types of education to help the masses become better trainers. And they can then take this information and teach their local communities to improve their movement and performance and overall health and well-being. This podcast was awesome. It was a fun conversation to have. David is so passionate about his fitness philosophy and sharing it with the world, especially when it comes to rotational movement and efficiency and efficacy of strength training and programming. So without further ado, here is the podcast with David Weck. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you can take some golden nuggets out of it, and it improves the way that you coach and view fitness, health, longevity, performance, etc. Enjoy the podcast. How are you? How's everything going?
Fantastic. You know, we're starting to reach that. I guess what would I call it? Critical mass. You know, the social proof. Like you're seeing more and more, and there's more and more buy-in. And that phone call, I just had a different phone call for an hour with super exciting stuff in like high tech. But that guy that you just heard me talking to, he has a facility down in Florida, the Uberzati, and they sell this like advanced treadmill. And they have this out of the box summit every year. I've been twice now. And they brought on a guy, a strength coach, who 100% indoctrinated into this freeze and squeeze and complete nonsense. And he was just calling to tell me that the guy has now finally bought in.
Very so cool.
We have, you know, a redemption story of what you guys do is bullshit. I'm better to, oh my God, you guys are correct. And now I'm better. It's so good.
I love it. I love the change in philosophy when it comes to just improving performance. I actually reached out to the owner of Uberzati and tried to figure out information about that treadmill. So let's talk about that treadmill specifically, because it allows people to go to super crazy speeds with like a harness, right? So you can test your ability 17, 18, 19, 20 miles an hour on this treadmill, go up inclines and what have you. So talk to me a little bit more about this machine and some of the information that you may have about it.
Yeah, I am super excited about it because the company is founded by three guys. One guy is, you know, very successful in technology, and, you know, so he sort of represents the funding and the software. Mm-hmm. The other two guys are exercise, you know, training specialists who have done it professionally, but they're also doing it with their kids. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and their kids are experiencing the benefits of it. And so what they're doing is they're creating hardware that has sort of, you know, unprecedented qualities, but where the real key is in the software. So they have a treadmill that you can run downhill. Mm. And for me, that represents something that is so exciting, because overspeed training has to be a part of your training, because you have to run faster to be able to run faster. So if I can now dial in a half a degree grade going downhill, maybe it's like 0.1 degree downhill, maybe it's 3 degrees downhill. We're going to find out what is optimal so that your body has run faster, hit the ground harder at a faster frequency, and then dial that back to flat. So the uphill is acceleration. It doesn't beat up your joints. You're not hitting it hard. It's driving downhill. When I was in high school, nothing was more important than the 40-yard dash for me, right? That was my quest, was to run the fastest 40 I could. And I wanted to dunk a basketball. Like, those are the two athletic objectives that I had. And I got to 4.6. It was the best I did then. I'd have got faster if I knew what I know now, but I had good instincts. And one of the ways that I got it down to the 4.6 was we had this strip of roadway that was right alongside of a park. And, you know, from the telephone pole to the crack over here, whatever, was, you know, 40 yards. And it was just a ever so slightly downhill grade. So you'd always have like a fast session on that grade. And if the body's been there, it's a lot easier to get back there. Mm. And I think that's why, like, you know, the guys who were faster than me, you know, as a sophomore and maybe a junior, I was then faster than them as a senior. And I think that there are a lot of factors coming into play on that training, but I think that the overspeed work at the right degree. So if you go too far, useless, but I don't know. Dangerous.
Yeah, for what sure.
You want, if you're going down a steeper grade, you need it to parabola, you know, like that. Otherwise, like, that's just a disaster if you keep trying to go faster.
So how does the technology work? Like, how do they get the treadmill to go on a decline like that?
You can do up to like 40, some ridiculous grade, and then you can go and then you just reverse the belt. So they have the technology that they can power the belt this way, power the belt that way, not power the belt. You can do each way. So, and then they have software where the sensoring ability and the ability to dial in like speed, like you'll be able to control this thing at sort of increments that no other treadmill has, so that the specificity with which you can now apply the stimulus or provide that environment, you have, you know, instead of one option, okay, well, we got 10 within that one.
Interesting.
So you can more precisely tailor it to the individual, record the data, and then, you know, PR, right? Measure it, motivate it, beat it, move on.
Yeah, very interesting. This is a new concept that the fitness industry has never seen before. A downhill style treadmill.
Think, you know, there's advanced treadmills and such, but I don't think anyone making these treadmills has the underlying understanding of the gait mechanics that we're trying to improve. So the Ubrizati guys, they bought my pulsers back in, you know, the first prototypes in 2017. And they've been doing head over foot and coiling and all this all these years, whilst the overwhelming majority of experts don't even subscribe to head over foot yet. I mean, they don't even have a clue. They never even analyze gait from the front on a treadmill. SMU Biomotor Lab down in, you know, Texas there, Southern Methodist University. It's the greatest biomechanics of gait lab. The treadmill costs, you know, $1 million. It goes 100 miles an hour and it's jammed up 6 inches from a wall in the front. So like, you only look at running from the side, and a treadmill is a tool and it is not the ground. So lean and lift is your, you know, that's how you run on a treadmill faster than you can run, is just lean and lift and just, you know, let the belt get off the belt as fast as you can. You're not propelling yourself on a treadmill unless it's the powered or non-powered treadmill where you got some kind of a thing.
Yeah, right.
You from going forward, now you got to do it, but that's not as much vertical force either. So if you don't understand the fundamentals of gait, which is to be in balance every instant that you are in contact and communication with the ground, has to be 100% balanced with zero compensation. Otherwise, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Don't build strength on dysfunction. Well, why are we putting in 0.5% of dysfunction here every single step you take, and doing exercises to reinforce that dysfunction, to create neural engrams that freeze and squeeze and uproot deer in headlights? Like, that is the best of the best, and the peer review science is fundamentally dysfunctional as it relates to gait. Clip that little section and blast it out.
Yeah.
You have the peer review who is fundamentally confused about locomotion. That is loco. That is crazy. And because of willful ignorance and egos and financial repercussions, those at the top who suddenly find out that what they're doing is not the best, well, they tend to want to cling to that position of power.
Oh, for sure.
If you've constructed a scenario where you have legislated your cash flow, all right? If you're a trainer, strength coach, or whatever, and you want to advance your career, probably the best place to go is to the NCAA, right? Even the high schools, even the pros, you need a certain certification. And if you don't have that certification, you are not in the applicant pool. I am sorry. You're not, you know, peer-reviewed, science approved. You realize how many people get into that, how many people fail, have to retest, even the, and then a lot of them matriculate out. And the ones who stay in every 2 years, you got to pay your money, right? And it creates complacency and it creates bad behavior.
Totally.
If you look, Google CrossFit versus you know who, and you read what the federal judge said about the worst case of malicious malfeasance in the history of her career, what she witnessed in this hit job science, where we're going to say CrossFit works in terms of getting in shape, but 16% are you going to get injured, so it's not worth it. Oh, really? And then you're going to fabricate that data? And you got Greg Glassman, who's like, you ain't going to do this, right?
So yeah.
All I'm saying is that what matters most is the physical integrity is the foundation for winning at life, right? You'll have more joy and less pain. You'll be more productive and better ideas. Everything will be better if you can establish and maintain physical integrity. And if you cannot do that because you've been led off target, right? You're lining up the shot and this peer review guy puts you this way. You can't hit the target if you do what they say. And the gifted athletes, well, their athletic intelligence of the lower brain, it underrides and overrides what they're thinking. Michael Johnson, yeah, one of the greatest sprinters ever. I kept my head still. No, you didn't, dude. You ran like an athlete who actually, boom, you jolted force down with both arms, upper body, and you ran head over foot, and your gold necklace went like that. And yet he's telling everybody, oh, yeah, Usain Bolt doesn't have technique. You see his shoulders are doing that. It's so preposterous that the simplest, most fundamental movement we do, aside from breathing, is locomotion. What's more important than water and food? If you don't got water and food, is locomotion, swinging, throwing, catching, carrying.
Yeah.
Because you don't got water and food. How are you going to get it?
Yeah, the 10 primal movements. I think about this a lot. So you got a bunch of people for a very long time talking about bracing the core, right? And then you got you coming over here trying to talk about head over foot, coiling side to side. Like, what? Why would that be superior in a nutshell?
Well, what the peer review community did was they conflated bilateral axial loaded lifts with a lot of weight with moving your body from here to there. They conflated it. Now, I'm a both sides utilized guy. I'm the BOSU guy, right? I want to make you super, super strong, and I'm going to use, you know, heavy axial loaded, you know, braced up, pressurized, not stiffened. Your core is fluid, okay? It's not tendony. Your extremities are tendony. So if you want stiffness, it's distal. And if you want pressure, it's proximal. All right. So this idea that proximal stiffness equals distal athleticism, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't want to do some squats and deadlifts and the big heavy axial stuff where I'm pressurizing and maintaining. I'm maintaining a spinal position. I would argue that you're not going to deadlift as much weight as you can with a neutral spine. Okay. That's a fantasy in and of itself. And when you train the Weck method and you get this idea of just flexion extension, then you say, no, it's three-dimensional. It's torsional, internal, external. That's what flexion extension really is. So now I can strategically set up these exercises. I'm going to emphasize the external torsion, and that's going to do something to the range of motion, and that's going to lead to this. And then I'm going to influence like that internal torsion, pick up a giant stone. You're not neutral in either one of those. Ask yourself, how well does the card move when it's in neutral?
Yeah.
Try to go uphill with the car in neutral.
Yeah, good luck.
No, there is no, you know, it doesn't matter luck, right? You ain't going to do it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, so then let me just answer your question, though. Why head over foot? Why? Because fish. Because water is buoyant. And all you got to do, when God said eat or be eaten, well, all they had to do is start wiggling to get away or to get. And this wiggling, right? They've done scientific studies where you take a cartilaginous type substance. So it's not ossified, it's not hard, and you have a strip of it, okay? If you wiggle that thing back and forth, you know, for all the reps, it will ossify and segment. It'll create little nodes of hard that are in between by soft, because biomechanically, just efficiently, well, not even biomechanically, just physics, right? That stimulus will find that efficiency of a structure that does that well. Okay, there's your fish vertebrae. Now, as soon as I want to explore the terrain, amphibian and reptile, well, suddenly I have the burden of gravity. My mainframe is this, right? You build on what came before. It's the Fibonacci sequence. You got to take the last one and add it to the next one to get to the next one. So you got to prop yourself up. Now figure eights, you do this. If I'm here and I'm hungry, okay, and I don't have enough calories to waste, I can make forward progress or progress in any direction simply by doing that. This costs no energy, right? Oh, I'm going to prop myself up and I'm going to use this all. And this idea of, oh, core stiffness and, oh, like sit-ups are bad. Like if you can't bend or move your spine, what happens when you injure your spine is it immobilizes. The last thing in the world you want to do is live your life with your spine immobilized. Oh, we're controlling rotation. No, you're not. You're running away from it. You're running away from it and it will catch you. It'll put you in a corner. And now when you're in a corner, you don't have fight, flight, response, ability. You've been neutered if you're certified in this stuff defending it. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean, and it's like otherwise intelligent, good people have been so brainwashed by the bully culture and the crabs in a bucket that they fear nothing more than being ostracized by their peers. It's high school all over again. So what do? They fall into line. They say the things that they know will gain praise from their, you know, deities who they worship. Oh, the science. And it's absolutely pathetic. It's preposterous. And they're all going to get better. It's just frustrating to have to wait for them, right? The male ego is a very powerful thing. And most guys who are good guys, worthy of their seed, go through an asshole phase. Okay. And if you don't go through your asshole phase, well, then you've never been humbled and you're still an asshole who's ignorant and doesn't admit it to yourself. Right. This is the best medicine that these guys could get is me coming along and saying, all right, guys, 10 years I held my tongue while you destroyed the reputation of a BOSU ball. Go into a college strength room. Find me the BOSU ball. Right? Go into the college strength room and introduce me to the strength coach. Oh, he invented the BOSU ball. You think he wants to talk to me? No, because it's been viciously slandered and viciously attacked and lied about. Oh, it makes healthy athletes weaker. Oh, really? 19 soccer players training on Dynadiscs, which are air cushions that will break your ankle if you put it too much weight into it. And suddenly unstable surfaces make healthy athletes weaker. Oh, a BOSU ball is only appropriate for proprioceptive, you know, on an injury rehabilitation. But if you even look at it, the estrogen in your body will rise. And these guys are so weak in their minds. They're weak because the truth is staring them straight in the face. And they're just succumbing to the bully culture, right? They're watching the strong guy give the kid a wedgie and they're not doing anything.
Yeah, it's very primal. It's like human beings, we go through this all the time. I mean, there's information about nutrition that we've been kind of fed the last 30 years that turned out to be...
Well, that's sinister. That is actually sinister. The exercise stuff, they're good people. They're not sinister because there's no money relatively in exercise. Food, drug, that's money. So yeah. You get evil attracted to that. These guys are just, they're males with an ego, and they haven't reconciled the fact that they're not running the right engrams, and they're all hissy, fissy, you know, and it turns into mean jerks is what they are. And
yeah, somewhat
people who are going to be redeemed. So anyway,
No, it's cool. I love feeling your passion here, man. I mean, it just, we need people like you, because you spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff and passionately sharing your message. And then there's people like me who have been a fitness enthusiast and coach really since 2007, you know, a lot of my adult life, all my adult life really. And I'm just eager to learn more about stuff and like what's going to help people advance. And I really like the philosophy of less input, more output. Efficiency. That's the only way we're going to live as long as possible with, you know, with efficiency really, and being productive and not living the last 30 years, you know, in a room, not being able to move. Like, it's all about being efficient and not having to overdo things, right? So if we have a method and it's been the talk of the town the last 3 decades or whatever, and we've come up with and found new information that allows us to propel forward, no pun intended, more efficiently, then why not at least take the jump mentally, cognitively into this realm and understand? I feel like you don't necessarily have to go and get that specific certification that you were talking about earlier. Like, I've advanced and propelled my career going to workshops and seminars and having podcasts and talking to other people within the industry about how some of these methods have benefited them and their customers. And I've just adopted them. I've gotten 2-day certifications or whatever, and I've continued to learn and practice myself, but I've seen the results in myself. I've seen the results in my customers. My customers talk to more people in the town, and boom, things start happening, and I've advanced and progressed my career. And then, not to mention, I'm attracting all kinds of other trainers to come to this gym, and more of them turn out to be WEC method people.
Well, it's coming happening. To you. When are we coming to you?
July 12th, 13th, and 14th. I can't tell you how excited I am about this. But my point is, like, more and more trainers are coming.
Hey, we're already sold out on that, I think.
Are you serious?
I think. We want to invite a few people who have been with us before in their Chicago area. So that's going to be an amazing reunion. But this is going to be epic.
Yeah. 1,000%. And like, I'm finding more and more people that are interested in this style of training, and I'm that are, you know, they want to keep going. And I'm finding these guys that are at least interested in WEC method and starting with like ropes and propulsors and coiling. I don't know if they're necessarily certified, but they're all going to be here. They're part of my crew that will be here for all 3 days. And now I'll have more than just me and somebody else. I'll have five total people.
We just got back from one in Maryland, and an amazing facility with amazing people. And that, like, the owner who had trained with us for years had come back, and now it's like, okay, well, he's doing a little weird stuff, and there's a little inquiry, some curiosity, a bunch of fear, and the feeling of like, oh, I don't know it enough to teach it. So you sort of get this stasis. Now, 3 days there, there's staff in it. I mean, now there's a boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I bet.
It's the social proof. We make people stronger, okay? Because for a guy, what you want when you're going through puberty, if you're like most, is you want to be stronger, right? You want to be bigger. You want to be better looking. Like, it's the birds and the bees. And it's, you know, winning at sports and being, you know, being the best you could be. And those physical qualities are, if you're honest, that's what you deeply, deeply want. You know, Charles Atlas, I'm at the beef and Biff kicks sand in my face and takes Sally to the prom. And so I go do the dynamic muscle tension. I come back and I kick sand on Biff and I take Sally, you know, in my car. Right? And these are themes that go back as far as you go back. Right. Sure. I mean, the alpha wolf. Right.
Yeah.
Who's the one whose, you know, seed gets to plant and move forward?
Of course. You're talking about hierarchies. Yeah. You're talking about hierarchy of human beings, and they've been around since the dawn of time. And at least at the beginning, you know, those are the first things. You want the physical attributes.
If you lose the physical attributes, you remove yourself, you untether from integrity. So the man who is a philosopher who can't walk in balance just through ignorance, he cannot be the wisest philosopher who can shape and move and, you know, guide through information, principles, and practices. He can't, because he doesn't trust himself. There is an irreconcilable problem between his upper brain and his lower brain because he doesn't have physical integrity. So philosophers of old, they had the qualities in all the departments, physical being very important, sound body, sound mind, right? The philosopher of today is some freaking, you know, anyone who has a high IQ wants to pretend that they know something. If they're not pursuing your physical vessel to make it efficient, I don't even care if you bench press nothing, but efficiency. So you're not fighting yourself. You're not fighting and losing against gravity. You're fighting and winning with gravity. And it is so fundamental that most people don't give it any kind of shrift. It's just short shrift because, oh, well, walking, you know, if you ask somebody about walking, most people are going to say, well, what about it? Some people are going to say, oh, I love to walk. Well, where do you live? Oh, we have this great trail and, you know, I get to be in nature and I love to walk, or I'm in Manhattan. I do tons of walking. It's good. I love it. But never are you going to ask somebody, how do you walk?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's where and what and how long, but it's never like, well, how do you walk? What are you talking about? How do I walk? I walk. Right. You'll talk about the shoes you wear. You'll talk about the little thing you're wearing, but nobody ever talks about the quality of every single step that you take. And then the ones who are experts are taking you off and away from integrity. Neural engrams. That's all we got. You myelinate these automaticity pathways that you can get on with the next thing in your life because you've got that other thing done. And if you're building the neural engrams that are fundamentally against your best interest in fight, flight, response ability, well, then you are a terrified little child inside that's going to have to put on all sorts of things, you know, mentally and do this to try to protect that little boy in there who's cowering because he's not balanced. And now 10 years of millions of steps out of balance, you're sweeping the porch and, oh, my back went out.
Right, right.
Got no idea how it happened and you got no idea how to make it go away. That is the normal state of affairs. And that's what funds big food and big pharma and big government. They don't want you to have this autonomous, like, you know, I'm going to tell stories to God's glory kind of prowess.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast, everybody. But we're going to take a quick break to chat about the WEC Method seminar that will be going on in Chicago, Illinois at my gym here, Underground Fitness Studio. We are located in Park Ridge, Illinois, 10 minutes away from O'Hare International Airport. So Chris Chamberlain and David WEC will be coming down here to host their WEC Method seminar. July 12th, we'll start with the Rotational Specialist Movement course. There you'll be using resistobands and RMT ropes, learning about coiling core and rotational movement patterns. And then the next 2 days will be the WEC Method Specialist Certification course, where we'll be going a little bit more in depth on how to use the BOSU ball, the propulsors, and the RMT club. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the WEC Method philosophies and protocols, come check out this seminar July 12th, 13th, and 14th. The information will be in the show notes. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, let's say someone's listening to this and they bought in. They want to learn what information you have to improve the way they walk, which in turn then changes everything, right? They start learning a little coiling. They start understanding the benefit of this rotational style of training. What does this, what does the rotational movement seminar look like? And then how does that transition into the WEC Method qualification course that everybody will be learning here in Chicago in July?
Well, what I would say is, first and foremost, rope flow. You don't have to buy my rope, and you can go and learn for free on my website. And there's plenty of other people teaching it. Basically, rope flow is the Rosetta Stone of training modalities that once you have that under your belt, four fundamental patterns that you can execute with cardinal precision. So you're mathematically precise in your movement, the perfect integration of load land or land load launch, 100% of you synchronized to that perfect perfection of changing your weight from one side to another and back and forth, and everything, the logo is up, down, all around. Up, down, that's gravity, that's where and it's when. And then it's okay, once you can calibrate to that. So that would be the, so, oh, you don't even like me. Well, rolling a rope and doing a row flow is the best thing you could ever do to have under your belt. You will acquire and assimilate new skills more rapidly, and you will take them further when you have rope flow under your belt. Okay. Now, if someone's interested in, you know, the whole thing, well, then we have a rotational movement training specialist course. We have it online, and the submissions that we get from the trainers who take it are so outstanding that I can say with 100% certainty, it's the most important training that you will ever have, because it gives you the fundamentals like nothing ever before. Because I've had 80,000 plus hours of this Gladwellian fucking psychotic fucking pursuit, the relentless pursuit of better, better. And you said earlier that it's efficiency. Well, what I tell an athlete is say effortless power, then add effort. But if we're going to throw a lot of effort at inefficient,
right, right,
what the hell are we doing?
Right.
Right. The tires are going to wear out prematurely. You'll never get to top end. And the best part is you don't even need to be patient. What I tell people is at our live RMTS seminar, I say, listen, your expectation is you will be stronger this coming week. So know where you're at or keep track of where you're at. You will be stronger this week. We get testimony. Oh my gosh, I just, you know, squatted a 645-pound box squat PR. It'd have been 675 if it were a competition. It went up so easy. What? Chris Chamberlain, right? Best coach I ever met, right? Chris Chamberlain came to me, spent a half an hour. I'm sitting there telling him all about this stuff. I teach him coiling. He goes home and he does a 45-pound PR and a one-hand overhand press, like 45 PR. And it's not like he's starting from weak. So it's this unprecedented tapping into that which has not been consciously tapped into.
So it doesn't matter.
It's the spinal engine. It's the deep lumbodorsal fascia. The lat is the fundamental bridge of the pelvis and the hips to the shoulders. And that shoulders, arms, pelvis, hip, thigh, that lat relationship, if you get that right, it's three-dimensional and you get everything else. So it's not just, oh, I'm training my QL. Are you really isolating your QL? Are you really doing that? Really, really flex your QL. Let me see you do that.
Yeah, right, right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it doesn't matter what the starting point is, whether you're a bodybuilder, whether you're a runner, if this is something that you want to take up.
If you have a spine, you don't even need legs. You don't even need arms. If you have a spine, okay, then WEC method is your foundation. Because all I did was define, it's principle driven. And what I did was I said, okay, I invented the BOSU ball, right? I'm going to work my butt off to have the American dream so that I can devote all my time to the study of human movement, because I said this to myself, I will be the world's foremost expert on the subject of balance measured by locomotion. And what you find out if you're on that pursuit for real is you find out that fight and flight are two sides of the same coin, and flight is objective. 958 is the fastest that's ever been recorded in a 100-meter dash, and that's flight. 100% objective. Now, fight. Well, who's better, Floyd Mayweather or Sugar Ray Robinson? Who's better, Tyson Fury or Mike Tyson, right? Like, it's a subjective thing, and styles make fights. So A will beat B, B will beat C, but C will beat A. Like, my master is better than yours. You go to different heavens and hells if you're going to argue about who's the best fighter. Okay. So you need the objectivity, and then you need the reality that fight is what keeps you alive. So locomotion, you could say how fast, how far, how long. But you also could say, can you get there in the face of opposition? Doesn't want to let you get there. And then can you stay there in the face of opposition that doesn't want you to stay there? Those are forms of locomotion. And unless you have those two forms of locomotion, well, the other ones don't matter.
Yeah. Very good. I love it. Love it. So in order to really deeply think about some of this stuff, you need to be cognitively stimulated. And I just saw that nicotine post that you put on your Instagram. And it's funny that you put...
Is this recorded on video or is this audio?
It's on video too.
Yeah. If anybody's watching it, they're seeing I got my little nicotine stick.
Yeah. And it's something that I've been using the last year and a half. Okay. One of my friends, Ryan Sprague, who runs a cannabis course, basically talks about intermittently using cannabis for optimal use. But in between those days, he told me, he's like, why don't you try some nicotine gum? And then that opened up the rabbit hole of nicotine for me. I love it. It feels great. It's a pick me up. It's allows me to focus a little bit better. It's definitely some sort of enjoyment from hour to hour that I'm training or whatever the things that I'm doing throughout the week. So you posted the knickknack story. I just ordered knickknacks like last week. And they're coming in today. So it's very ironic. So talk to me about your awesome. And you're showing knickknacks. Great. So what is your, like, I know obviously you got to cognitively stimulate. Talk to me about your use of nicotine. How are you liking some of these new things that popped out? The Zins, the gum, regular cigars, lozenges, or the knickknacks. Talk to me about like how have they benefited you and what your take on them is.
Well, first of all, let me say that, I was always like, nicotine is bad for you. That's just, you know, smoking's bad, chewing's bad, nicotine's
bad.
That was my understanding
as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so move on. That's okay. I know that.
Don't do it.
And then I had smoked cigars in my 20s. I did a movie where like the sound guy was really into cigars. It was down in Atlanta, which is a place called the Tinderbox. And cigars had not yet taken off at that point. So I could buy a box of 50 punch cigars, Maduro, Rothschild, 50. And I would buy 50 of them for $100. And every single night I'd light up a cigar and have a little scotch, you know, and just, you know, red wine, beer, whatever the alcohol was, and the cigar. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I bought the little cigars, you know, still good quality. And those were my like rollerblading cigars. So if I was rollerblading in the park, I'd have one of those, you know, the little 10, 15 minute, as opposed to hour long cigar. And I like to burn cigars cool. So, you know, if you're rolling around that, you know, the heat and it makes the burn hotter, but it's interesting because nicotine never grabbed me. So I can quit cold turkey on nicotine and I don't feel any physical like jonesing or any of that stuff. So that's never been an issue for me. And I think that that's probably not the case for many people. Many people are going to feel like physically addicted to nicotine.
Yeah.
So fast forward, right? I stopped smoking cigars and Andrew Huberman. Okay. I'm listening to, you know, Joe Rogan and Andrew Huberman and all these people. And he starts talking about the nootropic benefits of nicotine. And then people say, oh, well, you know, COVID, the smokers did not die disproportionately because, you know, there's antibacterial and antiviral qualities to nicotine. So while the delivery mechanism of this, you know, substance is the poison, the substance itself actually is very good. And I just was like, okay, now I have permission to explore this. And I began with the gum and I was extremely careful. Like I bought the 2 milligram Nicorette and I bought Nicorette brand because a friend told me that, you know, it's better than the generic and I cut it into quarters. Okay. So I would have a 0.5 milligram piece of Nicorette and I'd put it in, I'd get that little tingle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super careful because I'm still like, okay, this is pure nicotine. I don't want to go into something where I can't stop it. You know, what happens if, you know, what happens if there's an earthquake and I don't have access to nicotine and I need it? You know, like those thoughts went through my mind.
God forbid.
And then what I did was I experimented with it. I stopped it to make sure, like, okay, you know, is this something's going to grab me? No, I can exist just fine without it. But then I started to notice, like, holy shit, I feel sharper. I can connect dots in my mind. I can riff and I can just go and I can, you know, speak. And I love to construct words and thoughts and ideas. I love it. So then I overdo everything I do. So fast forward, I'm up to 4 milligrams, 25 pieces a day, putting it in before I go to sleep so I can wake up with the tingle. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, this is just who I am. And then on the jiu-jitsu mat, I started getting like violently ill. Like, you know, as soon as exertion would hit, I'd be like, oh my God. And I'd run off the mat and dry heat for 3 or 4 minutes and feel horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope this isn't the Nicorette. I hope it's, I knew it would probably be. And so I quit the Nicorette cold turkey. And, you know, again, I didn't suffer this like, oh, I need it.
Yeah, right.
I just didn't get the benefit. And then it was like, oh, well, I'm not getting sick. I'm getting better. And it was like, okay. And then I tried the Zins. I don't like Zin. And one of the guys in my office swears that his hair falls out when he was taking Zin. Now, I'm not trying to condemn Zin, but I'm not a big fan of the spike in a pouch. You know, the Nicorette was like a nice curve where the dosage came in and like,
yeah.
It was just a better arc, right?
Yeah, I agree. I use the lozenges too from Lucy versus, Zins are okay, but you're right. They do kind of just stop and then that's it.
Yeah. And then you're like biting on the pouch, trying to squeeze the last bits out. Anyway, then I was like, well, I'll just smoke cigars again. And I can't light up a cigar in the lab. Chris is like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And worse or better, my daughter just absolutely does not want me smoking cigars. And if your daughter doesn't want you smoking cigars and you see her every day, well, you can't smoke cigars. Like, there's no way you can smoke cigars and then tell people that you don't smoke cigars.
Yes, right.
Like, it just doesn't work, right? So I started to just say, all right, well, let me chew on the cigar. I had a college football coach who always had a cigar and it was never lit. It was just chomping on a cigar. And so I went back to JR Tobacco, right? JR Cigars, buy them online. That's where I used to buy them, you know, in my 20s. And I fell in love with just chewing a cigar because I get to dose it. It's not in my mouth right now. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I just dose it. Right. And I'm here. And then once it gets a little, you know, soggy and the flavor, the effects have gone out of that little piece. Well, I just snip, chop it off. And now it's a brand new cigar.
Ah.
And this one.
Efficiency.
Well, this particular one here has, it's just my favorite because when I cut it, matter of fact, I'm going to cut it now. It's about due.
Go for it.
What happens is that fresh cut, the first touch on my tongue, it has like those crystals where it's just like, ooh, and I just feel so sharp. And then this is fascinating. I drank coffee and caffeine and I'd have it all day long because I liked it a lot. And the peristalsis in the morning, just like Pavlov dog, like, you know, if I smelled coffee, oh good, I'm going to go, you know, do my morning ritual here, get rid of yesterday, you know what I mean? As opposed to carry it around for a few more hours. That's not fun. Have a shitty day that way. Right. So click, ready? Click. Boom. And now that right there, that's literally as if this thing was just a brand new shorter cigar. And I just, at first little bit where I get that is like, it's just, you know, it's pleasurable for me. I think, am I taking a risk? Maybe. I don't know. But if every day is better, and I would imagine it's low risk, the men in my family don't die of cancer and they don't die of heart attacks. We die with our brain, you know, Alzheimer's out. We can't remember. That's how we go.
Yeah.
So this is going to help me in that department, take risk in the other department. I think genetically I'm more inclined to go nootropic and take my chances on the other things. And I'm not combusting it. So, I mean, the only toxins in this would be fermented tobacco leaves that have developed some, you know, chemicals or whatever's in there that might not be the best for you. But I don't know. And who knows how long I'll do it. But I don't drink coffee anymore. I haven't had coffee in 3 days.
Wow.
And I don't miss it.
I don't
have a caffeinated beverage today.
Well, I like the combination of the caffeine and nicotine.
Well, like, a lot of people do. I mean,
it's fucking great.
Well, a lot of people do because they want a cigarette and a cup of coffee. I have a lot of friends of mine. That's the routine.
Yeah,
but
right.
Especially the ones who live over in Europe.
Of course.
They, you know, everybody smokes over there compared to here.
Yeah, so, I've never gotten with cigarettes. I'm not a big fan. You know, Eastern philosophies would say tobacco is a great ally to us, cleansing the body. I mean, I'm not too like, I don't really know too much about that end, but apparently the smoke of the tobacco sticks on people's body where they might have stuck energy, which is interesting. That's what my chiropractor talks about.
I think there's clearly some negatives to smoking.
Sure.
Especially indulgent smoking where it's like, you know, just light the next one off the last one.
Right.
That's probably not good. But I think here's the way I look at it is maybe take Native American, you know, 500 years ago, right? Or 600 years ago. I think your life expectancy was probably less. Okay. So there's really not as much time to get into your 70s and, you know, develop the, you know, the aging diseases. You're not eating seed oils. You're not eating sugar. You're not being buzzed by electronics. So maybe a puff, you know, to celebrate the hunt from yesterday, whatever, like maybe that's a benefit that outweighs the negative.
Yeah.
Right. So dosage does matter. And I know that I have a very indulgent personality. So if I like something, you bet. I got into a Greek yogurt phase and I mean, I was eating, I mean, literally like the stacks of Greek yogurts were in my office were just ridiculous.
That's hilarious. So how do you like the knickknacks?
What's that?
How do you like the knickknack brand?
I just got them in the mail the morning that I made that video or the night before I made that video. And so I just want something that if I'm on an airplane or if I'm, you know, in a theater or something where it's not appropriate to put the cigar or I'm with my daughter where it's not appropriate to put this in my mouth. I've just wanted, you know, an alternative option. And so what I did was I got the 6 milligram and then I cut them up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thirds, right? So as opposed to 15 pieces, because you open it up, you're like, Jesus, there's only 15 pieces. And now there's 45 pieces. And because this does spike and go away, it's not a cigar. Like the cigar I get, this thing will last me all day. And this spikes. And so if I take it at 2, the spike is sort of like, okay, well, I get a little spike. And then if I wanted to, you know, sort of spread that spike, I could do 2, 2, 2. As opposed to 6, where I'm just going to get a big spike and it goes away. And it's like this distributes it. So it's by having lower spikes, I get more of a non-spike. If that's
interesting.
Sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to have to experiment with mine. They came in today. So when I go home, I'll have to see how
I don't need a 6 all at once, especially it's going to go away in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I park it in my upper gum and lip here, it goes faster for some reason. Like I think, you know, my saliva is like doing that. But when I park it down here, I was on the treatment table this weekend and I just popped one in and it lasted pretty much the hour. So now I'm just only 2 milligrams distributing over an hour. That's the kind of curve that I'm interested in. I don't want this spiky behavior where it's like, oh,
yeah.
And you want another, like, oh.
Well, if you do too much like that, you can get dizzy. And it sometimes it's not beneficial, you know?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that would, if it's detracting from your life, well, maybe it's a good idea to not do it.
Yeah.
You know, easier said than done, of course. But
do you mess with other nootropics like Alpha Brain or Alpha Brain Black Label or Thesis or anything of that nature?
Not really. I mean, I bought something called Qualia years ago.
Yeah.
L-theanine is, you know, I used to get this coffee that had L-theanine in it and, you know, all sorts of energy drinks that had L-theanine.
Yep.
Apparently that does something good. I'm not expert in it at all. And like now I started buying these pills that have like organ meat. Mm. So it's, you know, organic grass-fed, grass-finished, heart, liver, pancreas, you know, prostate, like there's all sorts of organ meat in these powders and the dosage is 6 tablets, but I'll take throughout the day, 18, 24 tablets. I figure it's a good way to spend my money. And so those things for overall hormonal health and just, you know, vital nutrients and those kind of things, I think that that's a good base for my brain. I don't really sweat, you know, oh, I need to take this or that. And I think nicotine is the here and now nootropic that helps me think and connect dots and, you know, just thinking more razor sharp, the broader spectrum of, you know, inputs that I can bing, 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 bing. And then, you know,
yeah,
create more in the moment.
How do you organize your thoughts? Do you have like a writing time in your day, or do you ever think about putting all this information in a book or a journal, blog? I don't know if you have that or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm just the chaos of creation. So I'm very undisciplined in, like, you know, keeping notebooks or anything. Where I'm doing a lot of my writing now is just, you know, on X and Instagram. And I type these things out with my right thumb and I'll write until X says there's no more words left. And I'll, you know, write on Instagram and these are well articulated, you know, very well articulated thoughts and ideas. And I do a lot of it and I have no strategy. I don't care about strategy in the sense that I am delivering pure gold. So I get some leeway in terms of having to package it. So I have, you know, I have an income from inventions and we're only growing and more inventions, and Frank Sinatra sings My Way, right? The right way. I prefer Sid Vicious and the Sex Pistols doing it my way, right? So
right.
My way is I just want to focus so much on the quality, the truth, and the simplification that it can't help but succeed. And I don't need to follow all the same rules that your regular marketing guy has to, because I have the time, because the cash flow is consistent and I get to do it my way.
I love it.
And the phone call I had before this, that was with, you know, GPT kind of stuff that would mine everything that I've ever done and start to collate it and condense it and curate it. So I'll let the technology be the organizing factor. And then I got Chris Chamberlain and my team here.
Yeah.
Like without Chris Chamberlain, the WEC method is not what the WEC method is.
Yeah. I'm really excited for July.
He brings so much to it because his integrity, ice flows through his veins. Okay. He does not care about anything he doesn't care about. He cares about his family and he cares about his work. And that's all he cares about. So he doesn't get bogged down in all this BOSU bashing bullshit the way I do, because I'm a fighter. And if you harm me with intent to harm and not to help, and especially if it's unjustified, well, then I'm going to fight back and I'm going to win. Okay. If I'm going to compete, I'm going to win. All right. I don't get into battles that I can't win, but on biomechanics, I have won. And it's just a matter of time.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an army brewing. There's a bunch of people that are very interested in this.
Well, 8 billion is the number that I want, because the information, the knowledge is power. And What I want is I want my teachings, right, the knowledge and contribution that I have, to no longer even have to be necessarily taught overtly, because it's just osmotic. Everyone's moving, big cat, and you're born into it. Not this like, oh, everybody's not born into it. And the personal training profession, the highest educated ones, are sabotaging you with dysfunction, actively telling you with intent, squeeze harder, be more dysfunctional, be more uprootable, be more scared and terrified. Non-contact injuries are a plague. They are an epidemic, okay? You look at the athletes today, they're 2 times bigger and they're 3 times faster. Their feet are weaker than the athlete in 1970s, okay? When you're in 1970s, in the summertime, you're coming in, you know, come in at dark, and you're running around barefoot, climbing trees, jumping around, doing all this stuff. The sneakers weren't all Nike-ified and like turned into these giant whatevers. So your feet were relatively strong with your body. Today, you're a specialized athlete. All you do is wear your super Nikes and then your super cleats, and your parents shuttle you off to travel league, and you become a much better baseball player, a much better baseball player. And you're getting strong, but your trainer's built it on a foundation of dysfunction. And so now what ends up happening is you got shitty feet with all this powder keg dynamite that has neural engrams that are confused, and you start dropping like flies. Nothing happened. Watch the Super Bowl. Oh, he's going into the game. Oh, I can't go in the game. Yep. He's a killer. He's just snap. How the fuck is that happening? Right? And I mean, and you can't prove causation. All right? I'll be the first to acknowledge that. But correlation up the wazoo, right? If you're going to fill the whole room with correlation, well, then at some point I'm going to say, well, maybe we shouldn't do that, because perhaps there is causation. If all of the anecdotal evidence points to it's a problem, well, okay, I don't care about your 19 soccer player study. All right, I do not care. I do care because you use that to destroy the reputation of the BOSU ball amongst the highest level educated professionals in our industry. Okay, that is what's happened. And is it any wonder that it just coincides perfectly with this? Oh, put on a mask. Oh, do this. Oh, take a shot. Oh, do this. Oh, yeah. It's Russian disinformation. Yeah. Oh. They're trying to destroy the world. And we got a bunch of weak sheeple who are strong and they think they're tough, who don't even have physical integrity. How can your soul root through to connect heaven and earth, your skeleton, your fascia, all integral? How can your soul express itself when it can't even reconcile with each soul under your foot?
Love that.
Right? How? It's a trinity. Yeah. Right? Head over one soul, head over the other soul. Hey, maybe that feeds my whole soul.
Yeah, you know, I struggle with this because I'm a barefoot shoe guy, and then I train barefoot, but then I walk around in barefoot shoes all day, and then I go home and take my shoes off, I'm barefoot. But then I train these athletes, you know, let's call them future All-State, future All-American, high-level athletes that, you know, they'll come and they'll train with barefoot in the gym, but then they'll put their Crocs on or their big basketball shoes on afterwards, and they're in them all day. It's like you're doing something to build strength in your feet, but then you go home or you put these gym shoes on with high heels or whatever, and they're atrophying the muscles in your feet. Like, how do I send that message better? Be like, yo, let's have healthier feet. We train barefoot, but then when you're done, like, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Are you wearing flats? Are you protecting them? Are you building your feet up, or are you letting them atrophy with your Crocs or your slides or whatever?
Well, what I would say is that one of the factors that most people are not thinking about, you'll want to clip this section here because this is new, you know, thinking that isn't the norm, right? It's the necessary thoughts that have to advance us. Okay. So one of the issues that we face now that is problematic for your feet is that the earth itself is round, but the floor and the ground that you walk on and run on is flat, and it's pristine flat, and it's never not flat because the wheels of commerce roll on flat. So thank God, right? So back in the natural day when you didn't have everything paved, you were not on pure flat all the time. So this idea that barefoot shoes are suddenly the panacea for everything, well, barefoot on pure flat all the time with a piece of rubber between you, that's not good for your feet. Hey, that's just overdoing it in that direction. And I'm not against padding. Okay. What's your best position? Well, probably your next position. There's nothing that's going to work forever unchanged. So what you have to do for your feet is you have to appreciate that the development of your feet is a long-term project. So expect to be in this thing for 2 years and be getting there the whole time without going too fast that you can't get there because now you hurt yourself. Okay. And barefoot, which is dangerous and stupid if you live in a city, right? If I walk barefoot here, I'd be infected, right? There's all sorts of shit on the sidewalks, right? So to be barefoot with that tactile immediacy of that proprioception, the sensory apparatus of the feet, you can run gentle barefoot on cement, okay? But the minute you put on a 3 millimeter piece of rubber, all that sensitivity disappears. It's not there anymore. So now you're not an expert in how you're going to, make your foot transition perfectly through, and you're not getting the real time information that your body's just going to do it naturally. So you jump in your barefoot shoes and you overdo it. And now you got bruised metatarsal heads and you're like, your feet are killing you. And okay, well now you go back to the padding. So really what people have to understand is that the feet is not three sets of eight in the gym. It is lifestyle. Mm. Get a river rock and put it under your foot and use that during the day, right? Take the opportunity to create surfaces that are different so that you're getting articulation. It's not just two dimensions all the time, right? So it's a long-term project. It's mostly connective tissue. The muscles in your feet, okay, it's not the muscles. It's the connective tissue, the ligaments, the tendons, mm-hmm. the fascia. That's really the meat of the foot that yes. you're training, right? So just squeezing your toes, it's like, okay, really? What the fuck's that going to do? And this right here for your toes, that's actually not the best thing you can do for locomotion. You want extension strength, length and strength through the toes if you're going to locomote. Yeah. Now, if I'm going to box or something where I need that agility to move back and fade follow real quick, then I want to nail the big toe into the ground, right? But if I'm nailing the big toe into the ground, going forward sort of sucks. So it's both sides utilize strength, and the grabby strength is just for, range of motion and overall health. But that's not the functional strength because you're no longer interacting with tree, trunks and tree branches.
Yeah.
A long time ago, if there's a tree that fell across the, ravine that you're going to walk across, well, that's not flat. It's not. Okay. And then you're going to get to a flat section. Then you're going to get to an uphill section and there's going to be a root and there's going to be a rock and there's going to be, a little thing. And there's going to be a little prairie dog that made a little, divot in the field or whatever it is. The foot does not articulate against randomized inputs the way that it used to naturally. And so if you're applying this pristine flat all the time to the foot, you need to take steps to mitigate against that. Because 20,000 steps on pure flat might not be so good for your barefoot shoe guy, whatever feet.
It's right? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. David, it's been a little bit over an hour. I have another podcast to hit up after this. So I really appreciate your time. This is cool. Can we take a quick video here between me and you here just to show that we did a little pod today? Got David Weck over here. Give maybe one of these. Yeah, there it is. Okay, I got one pod here down with David Weck, and then I got Mark Wildman right after, so I'm jacked up. All right, David, this was so fun. Thank you so much for all your information, your wisdom. I really look forward to July to have you guys here and to host you guys. Really excited for the information that everyone's going to take in.
Perfect.
So very cool.
And let me know when this goes up because I want it linked on X in particular. And then I don't know if you promote it with like clips and snippets.
Yeah, but I do.
Okay, great. Clips and snippets are great.
Yeah.
Find the most intriguing stuff that has been said
and
put that out. Let's get a lot of eyes and ears on this.
Yeah, definitely. Ears. Definitely.
Let's keep this thing going because
it is happening.
It's a paradigm shift, balance, locomotion. We are restoring physical integrity to humankind. Every step stronger.
Dude, love it. Thank you so much, David. We'll talk to you soon, all right? Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in checking out the WEC Method Seminar here at Underground Fitness Studio, July 12th, 13th, and 14th, check the link in the show notes. There will be links to both seminars, the Rotational Movement Specialist course and then the WEC Method Qualification course. We look forward to having you here and learning a little bit more in depth on what some of these WEC Method protocols entail and how they will help you be a better mover and how they will help you teach your local community to improve their overall fitness, performance, and overall well-being.